Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us on this Saturday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and today we want to talk about life. Because all of us, as time passes, we age, and we're under the mistaken impression that time passing means that we're going to deteriorate and eventually die. But we've been misinformed. We've been misinformed about the nature of life. And as a result, the way we live our lives is one of suffering, needless suffering. Well, it's said when you know better, you do better. So today we want to share with you some wisdom, some insight, and some understanding so that you can choose to change the way you live your life, because your life is ongoing. It never ends. Now, you may go through some transformation in form, but you, the person that you are, will always live. And if you make good choices, the vehicle in which you live will keep you comfortable because it's designed to regenerate the cells that make up the structure of your body. Now, we talk about this on our various shows throughout the week, but today we want to address a mindset to transform thinking so that you really understand that you go from life to life. And you can live life abundantly when your focus is on enjoying your life as opposed to the dread of ending your life. So we're going to share information that has been widely available on the internet, but if you're tuned into fear and dread, you miss it. You miss the good news. And instead of preparing for a greater life ahead, you're distressingly fearing what you believe is going to be death, and so your life ends up a lower quality instead of the joy it was meant to be. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to share a bit of information by many of those who have made a commitment to help in the transformation of our thinking so that this life we're living can be the joy it was intended to be. And we can celebrate life every day, even the lives of those who have changed form, because we will understand that they are still alive. And later we're going to join a health conference that reminds us that there are always means available to repair and maintain this wonderful life-affirming vessel that carries us through our activities as we experience the joy of living inside these bodies and all the sensations we experience. And so we want to also make available the information so that we're not living in dread and repressing the joy that we should be experiencing every day, even as time passes and the structures that we're inhabiting may slightly change form over time. Life never has to be painful. It should always be a time of joy and celebration. So we'll be right back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, we invite you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'd love to hear your thoughts as we transform your perspective on this experience known as life, which truly never ends. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Global radio TV show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naeem Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naeem Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
And we're back. You're listening to and watching The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naeem Latif, and as always, you can participate in this conversation, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will certainly add your comments to this discussion. You know, we have been obsessed with death over these last couple of years. The pandemic, some calling it the plandemic, because it most certainly did change the way we function. And it caused a great panic because many people were afraid they were going to die. And it caused them to restrict their social interaction, and it caused them to stay inside and avoid contact with loved ones. It created a lot of depression, a lot of sadness, and in some cases, a lot of anger. People began to turn on each other in ways we had not seen during our lifetime. Domestic violence increased. People began to get stir crazy because they, in many cases, had to stay quarantined if someone had contracted the virus. And then going outside and having to wear a face covering, even in warm weather, and people were therefore restricting their intake of oxygen. which also is an uncomfortable feeling of slowly suffocating. This has an impact on the brain when you are not allowing your brain to receive oxygen in the quantities that is necessary for healthy brain function. So all of these things we did to ourselves because we had a fear of dying, believing that our existence would end. And many people were listening to daily death reports as issued by various governmental bodies. The national representatives of the healthcare system, the local representatives, and people who had attained the status of a person who was credible in these areas, often giving daily and weekly reports of the numbers of those who had contracted the virus and had become sick and were hospitalized and transitioned. So a level of panic that we had not seen engulfed the planet. And what this did was reflect to us the foundation of our belief in death as being the reason why we have destroyed the quality of our lives. Believing that there is an end, an untimely end to your existence, makes you make decisions that are irrational, fearing you're not going to have enough of things. And we saw people hoarding and going to grocery stores and hoarding ridiculous things like toilet paper. That's a running joke now. There's even a little logo of the numbers 2020 with the zeros being rolls of toilet paper. But the fear that people would not have enough toilet paper to clean themselves, to blow their nose, all kinds of fears surfaced. And this pave the way for an opportunity for those among us who have access to information to share it so that we could begin to transform our thinking about life and repair the damage we have done to our lives based on an erroneous belief that there is such a thing called death when it truly does not exist. So there are many YouTube channels in which information has been shared that has been quite transformative. We certainly provide a global guide, very limited guide, because there are so many, many communicators that are using the internet to teach. But we certainly do invite you to go to the on-air radio and TV guide, recommended viewing for transformative thought. And you can go to www.onaireverywhere.com and go to the radio TV guide and subscribe to those YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts we term as voices of enlightenment, because the information will remove fear-based thinking and fear-based living. But today, we're going to share with you one of those who is, again, recommended for his recordings on YouTube of his book series, Conversations with God, by Neil Donald Walsh. And this fourth book in the series, we'll share a bit of that with you before we go to a health conference and meet some of the presenters there. But we definitely want to give you a chance to hear information that will awaken you to some reality so that you never have to live in fear of death again. We, as beings of light, are here for a very interesting physical experience to help us in our understanding of universal principles of existence. But we're not here to fear, and we're not here to suffer, and we're certainly not here to compete for what we have been mistakenly made to believe are limited resources, because there are no limits. We are here to create all that we need. And in book four of his series, Conversations with God, author Neil Donald Walsh is given the challenge to awaken the species, that species being humanity, to the realization that our life never ends and we have the power to maintain a healthy existence all while we are in these bodies. So we never need to create fear-based systems in which we're depriving some people of what they need because we're believing we don't have enough. Just like the people rushed to the stores to hoard toilet paper and left the shelves bare for those coming after them because of their fear that there wouldn't be enough. We can change our thoughts, and we can change our treatment of each other when we understand that there is enough for everybody, and no one is ever going to die. That's right. There is no death. We need to know that, so that we can change how we interact and we can make living a joy and not a fear that we're struggling through. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to share your thoughts. And if you are watching on Facebook and YouTube, certainly you can write in your comments. And we're going to take a break and come back with book 4 of Neil Donald Walsh as he gives a voice to the information he received, and he uses both a male and female voice for that which is the source of all life, so that we may understand that there is not an old man in the sky with a beard waiting to punish us for misdeeds, but there is a life force energy that is ever existing, which is what we all are, so that we never have to fear the transition from this life. We'll be right back after this next break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naomi, and if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In the meantime, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. all you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
Want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif. And today we're going to share with you Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh, Book 4, Awaken the Species, A New and Unexpected Dialogue. And we want you to call in with your thoughts as we share thoughts that perhaps may help to alleviate some of your fears about who we are and what really happens in this life so that we can live this life without fear of dying. And we want you, of course, to consider so that you may choose to live life and live life more abundantly. So here we are, Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God.
Conversations with God, Book 4, Awaken the Species by Neil Donald Walsh, narrated by the author Namuna Sise and Paul O'Connor. Dedication. To those who see that neither their life nor their world is as wonderful as it was meant to be, but who know that both can be, and who now choose to make it so. Author's note. I am aware that in the most recent book in the Conversations with God series, Home with God in a Life That Never Ends, written and published 10 years ago to this writing, it was indicated that it would be the final of these dialogues to be published and widely distributed by me. Yet life is an ever-changing mosaic, and given that all of us are one with God, we do have the ability to create what filmmakers would call an alternate ending to any story. Apparently, this is what's happened here. A new decision appears to have been made at a superconscious level, the level at which all souls function. I could have kept this latest dialogue private, but everything within me shouted, "Don't you dare!" With this public distribution of a new word-for-word transcription of my most recent conversation with God, I feel that I'm keeping a promise to God to do whatever I might be able to do to continue to place into the world the most important information I've ever been given, information that, it has been demonstrated to me, can change in a positive way the daily experience of millions of people around the world. Notwithstanding the fact that all of the world's major religions speak of divine revelation from God to humans as having occurred throughout history, I perfectly well understand if some people feel that such a blessed event would presumably not occur in the life of an utterly imperfect and fault-ridden person such as myself. I've always said, however, that it's not me in the singular who has conversations with God, but all of us in the plural all the time. Most people are simply calling it something else. All of us have the ability to access the highest wisdom within us, which we are invited to consider to be God working in and through us. The dialogue itself puts this succinctly in the voice of the divine. I talk to everyone all the time. The question is not, to whom do I talk? The question is, who listens? I therefore invite you to set aside whatever natural skepticism may arise regarding the source of the material found here, and to focus instead on whether or not what has been offered in this process has any value in the living of your individual life and, more broadly, in the understanding of life itself. The text contains much information about life and death and the time in between. It's filled with probably more metaphysical data than you may have been exposed to in one place in a very long time. At one point in the dialogue that follows, you may find yourself saying, speculation or not, this is utterly fascinating. Yet then, fairly be asking, what good is knowing all of this? What does it have to do with my life and the improving of it, much less the improving of the lives of all of us on Earth? You'll see here that I ask question after question in my effort to render this dialogue meaningful and relevant. What I know is that today, with everything that's going on in the world, people are yearning and searching for a message of hope, faith, healing, and change. I found that this latest conversation with God offered me that, and this is why I let myself publicly share it. The exchange here contains a few tough assessments of where we are today. Yet these are offered not as judgments, but as flashlights, illuminating what we are now being invited to see and empowered to do. know it sounds trite, but a better tomorrow for us as individuals and for our civilization is possible, very, very possible, if we will choose it. As the dialogue here makes clear, we are but one decision away. I hope you'll decide to make that decision after hearing what follows. Introduction. I awoke from a sound sleep on August 2, 2016. It was the urge that awakened me. I knew it well. I hadn't felt it in nearly 10 years, but I knew it well. I had no idea what time it was, but I thought to myself, if it's 4:23, will I need more of a sign than that? I glanced at the clock on my bedside table. 4:13 a.m. Of course, just enough time to pull myself out of bed for my 4:23 appointment. The first dialogue I ever had with God began at 4:23 in the morning, and every morning for weeks I would be awakened between 4:15 and 4:30 by a deep inward urge, get back to the dialogue. This pattern continued for months, and subsequently for years. I wondered if there was any significance to the timing of it, but ultimately I released any need to know. When the first Conversations with God material, scribbled on yellow legal pads, actually became a published book, I was told in the dialogue that it would, by the way, so I sent it to a publisher on a dare. I thought that maybe something important had taken place here. And when over a million people obtained the book, and I saw it being translated into 37 languages, I was shocked into certainty about that. Then it came to pass that requests for me to speak outside the United States began arriving, and I had to find my birth certificate in order to apply for a passport. Well, it was nowhere to be found among my personal papers, of course, so I applied to the records department of the government where I was born, paying the fee and asking to be sent an official copy. I was stunned when I opened the envelope and examined the document. Time of birth? 4:23 a.m. Of course. The fact that this experience of divine connection always seemed to be initiated near the same time every day that I came into the world somehow seemed meaningful to me. At the very least, I could not ignore the perfect symmetry of it. Through the years, then, whenever I found myself suddenly wide awake between 4:15 and 4:30 in the morning, eyes staring at the ceiling, a certain energy coursing through my body, I knew what was going on. I got up immediately, raced to my laptop, and opened myself to whatever wanted to come through. And so it was on this day, August 2, 2016. I've just thrown back the covers and pulled myself out of bed. Now, here I am. The only thing is, I didn't think I'd ever be doing this again. Let me explain. All of us are having what I've come to call conversations with God all the time. This was made clear to me on page 5 of the over 3,000 pages of the published CWG dialogues. So my experience was not unique, not uncommon. What was perhaps a bit unusual was that I had made a written record of my innermost encounters and then sent it to a publisher who, in fact, actually printed it and placed it in bookstores. I've come to understand and to experience that I, and all of us, have a deep and personal connection with God all the time, and that we may have an actual communication with the divine, asking for help, guidance, insight, and assistance whenever we wish. That was, in fact, the point of the book. It was placed into the world to open other people everywhere to this experience, to invite them to a new and more personal relationship with God. The feeling that I must have such a dialogue, however, that the time has come for such an interaction, signaled by a deep inner feeling welling within me that cannot be ignored, is something else altogether. I experience this as a feeling that comes over me, and I haven't had that feeling for nearly 10 years. So I've held the idea that I had encountered it for the last time. Oh, I knew I'd be writing again. I'll always be writing something. A column for Huffington Post, a blog for CWG Connect, a Facebook entry, an answer to someone posting a question at Ask Neil, even a full-length book exploring in depth the messages I've received. Something, but another on-paper conversation with God? Another back-and-forth dialogue with deity? I thought those days were over. I thought that process was complete. I was wrong. Chapter 1. I didn't think I'd ever be doing this again. I mean, I thought this process was complete.
There's more to do. One more invitation, dear one.
I've already accepted two, you know. change the world's mind about God, and give people back to themselves. I thought that was it.
I know. It wasn't time yet for the third.
Oh, so now it is.
Now it is.
Okay. What's the third? And by the way, will this be the last invitation?
Yes, this will be the last. And these invitations are, by the way, not just for you. They're for everyone. Although not everyone will accept them. Those who will accept them will self-identify.
I've always understood that the messages were not just for me. About those first two invitations, I've always understood that.
So now comes the third and final invitation, because it's the perfect time for advancement on your planet.
Wow, that really sounds exciting, especially when it feels like it's just the opposite. I mean, it seems as though our civilization is moving backward. It feels like we're becoming less civil, less tolerant, less capable of controlling our indulgences. By the way, to say nothing of controlling our anger, less able to access the better angels of our nature.
I'm glad you're seeing this, experiencing this, because if you pay attention to what's happening with you and around you, and do what you feel inwardly called to do in response to it, there's nothing to worry about.
Well, it certainly looks bad to me. But, of course, I don't know if I'm just getting in my own way, getting into my judgment about things and can't really see clearly. I mean, there's a lot going on around this planet that I don't think should be happening.
It's not about what should or should not be happening. It's about what is happening, both in your individual and highly personal experience, as well as the experience of the collective called humanity, and how you can change, actually rather dramatically, what you may feel are the worst parts of that. This is the perfect time for you to begin making those alterations. Because what's happening now, environmentally, politically, economically, socially, and spiritually, is providing you with conspicuous and unmistakable, incontrovertible, and crystal clear signs on how you can do that. And so, it's time for the third invitation.
Okay. Okay, I'm ready. We're all ready. What is it? What is the third invitation?
Awaken the Species,
Chapter 2. Well, that's not too ambitious.
Is there anything too ambitious for God?
I meant for me.
So did I.
I mean, I see what you mean.
Do you? Or have you forgotten who you are?
No. Well, yes, I guess, in a sense. In the sense that I don't act that way. I mean, I understand intellectually that God resides within me, that I'm an individuation of divinity. I just don't experience it functionally.
You may wish to begin.
It's easier said than done.
As long?
And for those listening, if you caught the switch in voices, what Neil Donald Walsh does in giving voice to the voice of the divine is switch between a male and female voice so that we may understand that divinity is neither male nor female. And also what was stated is that we are individuations of God, meaning all of us are part of all that is, which is God. And a lot of people who hear that find it difficult to comprehend on a deeper level that there is only one life force energy and we're a part of all of it, just an individual piece of it. So we'll continue with that, and then we want to get some of your thoughts and questions about what you hear that may be different than what you may have been taught. And often it's at that point that people sometimes experience a little bit of fear at the thought of claiming that identity, even though scripturally, this is what we are told. Who are we? We are individuated expressions of the divine. Does not, and as a matter of fact, when Jesus was challenged on that thought, he said, doesn't your scripture say ye are God's children of the Most High?
And who you are?
No. Well, yes, I guess, in a sense.
in the sense that I don't act that way. I mean, I understand intellectually that God resides within me, that I'm an individuation of divinity. I just don't experience it functionally.
You may wish to begin.
That's easier said than done.
As long as you keep saying that, you'll find it to be true. Yet you can't awaken the species until you awaken yourself.
I know. I'm trying as hard as I can.
You may want to try harder. It's the perfect time for advancement.
You're making that point.
Will you try harder then? All of you?
I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm in. Tell me what I can do to awaken more quickly. There's not a person on Earth who doesn't want to know how to do that.
The fastest way to awaken more quickly is to be the cause of someone else awakening more quickly.
But how can I be the cause of someone else awakening if I'm not awake?
This is interesting. This is what is called a divine dichotomy. When two apparently contradictory truths exist simultaneously in the same space. The truth is that you are awake. You just don't know that you are. So in that sense, you're not. You're not awake to the fact that you are awake, so it feels as if you're not awake.
Hold it. Can you help me with that? I mean, I feel like we just went around in circles here.
Have you ever heard a noise in the middle of the night and thought it was part of a dream? Only to be surprised to find that you're actually awake?
Sure, that's happened to all of us.
There you are.
Okay, let's agree that I'm awake, but just don't know it yet. What could make me realize that I'm awake?
Have you ever been scared awake by a nightmare?
Well, yes, again, we've all had that experience as well.
You're being scared awake right now by some of the conditions on your planet, some of which have become nightmarish. You said yourself it feels like you're going backwards.
In my own life sometimes, not just globally.
Observing this is very good. It will cause you to know that you're awake and that this is not just a bad dream. It's a reality that you no longer choose. You're becoming more and more conscious every day of what's going on. And that's going to help you remember who you are and motivate you to begin acting like it. That's all that has to happen here. That's all that's going to be required for all of you who already feel that you are awake to bring an end to every nightmarish condition. You simply need to awaken to the fact that you're already awake and that there's something you can do about what you see happening all around you.
Could you excuse me? I'm just not sure that I'm up to trying to save the world.
This is not about saving the world. This is about your personal spiritual journey. It is about your individual evolution. It can be the most exciting, enthralling time you've experienced since your birth. And the world may indeed change, may indeed be saved by your decision to begin acting as who you really are. But that will not have been the point of it. It is your personal evolution that will be the point and the purpose of every and any change you make in how you move through and experience the world. If it is your desire to demonstrate who you really are, and one way you see yourself doing it is by assisting in ending the suffering of others, bringing healing to the planet, and affecting in a positive way the future of those you love, then you will not feel burdened by an assignment too big, but rather joyously thrilled about the opportunity life has placed before you in this perfect time to advance. The third invitation is to awaken, as part of your process of personal evolution, the many members of your species who are already awake to the fact that they are, and then to inspire them to begin acting like it also, so to model and inspire and awaken behavior for those others who are still asleep, and to do this all because this is what your personal evolution calls you to do.
Thank you. I get it. But there still is this lingering question. If many people are already awake, why aren't they acting like it? Are you telling me that not one of them, not a single one, knows they're awake? They're all still thinking they're just dreaming what sometimes feels like a nightmare called today's news on Earth?
No. Many of them know that what's happening is real, and they are awake to who they are and what it would take for them to awaken the rest of the species.
Okay, then my question still lingers. If there are so many humans who know they're awake, why is the world the way it is? I'm a perfect example. Every day I do something or say something or think something that does not in any way resemble the behavior of someone who is awakened. If I know that I'm awake, as you claim that I do, why do I behave the way I do?
Because being awake and knowing what you know and having all that you know fully integrated into your life are two different things. Sometimes, particularly when you're very young or acting immaturely, it's more attractive to you to pretend that you don't know what you know, or just to ignore the fact that you know. And sometimes, you simply forget. Did your father ever say to you, why would you do such a thing when you know better?
Did he ever say that? Of course, I heard that 100 times.
Make it 101. Look, yours is a very young species. You are like children. You are the toddlers of the universe. So you go around doing things that you know are not good for you because it seems like more fun in the moment. Or you simply forget what you've been told. This is the story of your species' collective experience on Earth. You've let it be your experience as an individual, too, even though you know better. You're not just observing non-beneficial behaviors in others. You're actually engaging in such behaviors yourself. But now, it will be beneficial for you to set aside your childish behaviors.
I know.
And I know that you know. That's what I've been saying here. Even those who did not know before know now. It's becoming too obvious for even the most immature members of your emerging species to not see it, to not realize it, or to pretend they don't know. Yet you're still not acting as if you know. You're not integrating what you know. So you know, but you're not acting as if you know that you know. You're awake to who you are and to what is true, but your behavior does not reflect this. You continue to act as if you're sleepwalking. Now, if you don't want to walk into a wall or off a cliff, you would do well to wake up to the fact that you're already awake, that you're not dreaming about some of the nightmarish conditions on Earth, and that you're not making it up or imagining that this very day is the perfect time to advance in your evolution.
Okay, I got it. I got it. You keep saying it, and I got it. I understand. And I'm going to bet that others hearing this right now understand, too. This is good news for everyone.
It is. And I am being emphatic. I am repeating myself. This whole dialogue that you felt called to have is about repeating other things I've said to you in other conversations.
And that was part of Book 4, Awaken the Species, a new and unexpected dialogue by Neil Donald Walsh as he recorded his conversations with God. So we're going to take a break and come back and take some of your calls, because the challenge in this book is for us as a species, part of a universe of many planets where there is civilization and activity going on. But here on Earth, we are choosing to be self-destructive as if there's no other way to be. And we're being told that other places, people have learned how to get along without killing themselves and others, or without killing other life forms on the planet in which they resolve, in which they exist in physical form. And it's time for us to grow up and learn how to do likewise. So there's a lot of things that have to be unlearned, first being the erroneous thought that we're the only ones in the universe, and number two, that there aren't enough resources for everyone to share and have enough, and number three, that we cannot stop this violence unless we use more violence. So we're being told that now is the time for us to awaken, to grow up, and to evolve so that we can live in peace the way we were meant to be. What are your thoughts on that? And what do you think it would take for people to awaken to that reality? And we'll be right back after this quick break, and we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away as we go into more of the dialogue that reveals to us that there is no death. You're simply going to transition from one form to another, but the consciousness that is you will always be here, so therefore there is no need to live as if you are in fear of dying. There is no death, ever. We are all eternal life. Can we really accept that?
We'll talk about it. When we come back, we'll take your calls. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 so that we can open your mic. And our caller up next, 314-677. Hold on, we're coming to you right after the break. So stay with us.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
See you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and as always, we appreciate your participation in this daily think tank because we share information to transform your mind and transform your reality. So today we're talking about celebrating life. A lot of the recent activities in our cities, in our nation, around our world has had to do with fear of death. And we're here sharing information to awaken us to the reality that death is an illusion. It does not exist. The consciousness that you are will always be. And if you knew that, would that change how you view life? Would it change how you conduct your affairs with others? And do you think it would change the way others behave if they understood this reality and the fact that all that we need is enough? We are not in danger of running out of that which we need to survive. So can we live life without fear? Well, let's go to our phone lines. And again, call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. And let's open the mic for area code 314-677. And, of course, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience so we can put your name up on the screen as you speak. I believe this is our dear brother, Pianki.
Yeah, Naima, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, and how are you?
I'll say one thing. You do have a very beautiful smile.
Oh, thank you. You must be looking at my face. Yes, I am smiling.
Well, I'm not looking at it, but the memory of the last time I seen it is still there.
Yeah, it's still there. I still look the same. Still got these big old teeth in the middle of my face. Yes.
All right, well, here comes the more opposite of the conversation. I think that lady was talking in circles. Sound like AI voice to me.
So
and,
okay, go ahead.
Well, because he was talking in circles and the person was sort of confused. But the idea about humans taking care of the earth is backwards. The earth would take care of itself and humans are only there. And because the earth is alive and it's too great for any human being who is a part of it, who basically just reside on it, they can't take care of that. The earth has been around and has an archival of history that was obtained before there was any recording. Now, all life has a fear of death. If you go to try to touch a roach is going to run. And any animal form will run because they fear of what they don't know about you. And the ultimate experience could be death. Everything wants to live. You know, even spiders cast a web to catch other things that's alive. And when they catch it in the web, they go and they eat it. Spiders don't go out and eat carrots or dandelions. They have a particular diet that they were programmed with when they came into existence. So we know we came up with the old cliche thinking that more is better, and then someone said less is best. That's the opposite. There's good. Some people say it's the God in you. Then there's bad. Some people say it's the devil in you. I mean, that's just the way life is. That's the way the ideologies go. So we have to learn to accept those things for what they are and don't step out in front of a bus. The consequences could be death.
Well, now, I certainly do agree with your statement that the earth takes care of itself. And it's been around a very long time, so therefore it does not need humanity to exist. It is already existing, and we are simply residents like every other species is a resident on the planet. So the earth is not dependent on humanity, and you're right, you know, before we ever wrote any thing about history, there was a vast history of activities going on, so we are certainly not crucial to the survival of the planet. And in terms of life, well, yes, once we come into this physical structure, we want to stay in it as long as possible. That's what we came into the experience for. And there is a natural drive and instinct to preserve one's
experience inside a physical body.
Right.
But with us as human beings, we are unaware that once we leave this physical body, our consciousness continues. And we've developed various religions that tell a story of what's going to happen once we exit this body.
Well, you know what it is, too.
Accurate.
See, here's the thing.
State of fear.
Yeah, people don't want to die and go back to that place that folks conveniently talk about, and they ask the question, if that place is so good, why do people want to be born? Why are they born to come into this life and exist? So it must not be all that good. Huh?
For the experience. And that's one of the things that we learn through this dialogue and many others that are right here on the internet. We were living before we came into this physical life. And we came
here
for the...
Yeah, you were living in the womb.
Just like if you decided... Let's say you decided to leave St. Louis and go to Alabama, and somebody might say, "Well, why would you leave St. Louis?" Well, I want to experience what's in Alabama. So you don't stop existing because you left St. Louis and went to Alabama. You just had a different experience that expands your understanding of, you know, life in America or whatever you might have experienced in Alabama. And likewise, if you decide to leave Alabama and go over to Nigeria, well, you don't cease to exist. You just left Alabama and went over to Nigeria. So now you have even a greater expansion of knowledge of life on Earth because you've gone to a different part of Earth. So what if we knew that we have experiences on different planets? What if we knew that? What if we knew that we have experiences in different dimensions of life on different planets? What if we knew that?
Well, I got answers for that. See, here's the thing. See, you made reference of me going from St. Louis to Alabama to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can make those moves because apparently I like it. But see, you can't go from life to death, from death to life. I can't go from St. Louis to death and come back from death to St. Louis and tell people about my experience. Because people on either side, see, if people that's not in existence wanted to come into existence, well, they are not necessarily not wanting to go back into non-existence. And when you make mention about people's birth, you actually, birth or life begins at a certain point. And when you're born and come out of the womb, you have already lived a minimum of 9 months. So when we say that we're 5 years old, we actually over that because when we conceived, life began. Your life, your clock started ticking.
Mm-hmm.
It's only when you come into the physical world that you're physical being is able to contend with that which the physical world has that's trying to destroy you. We know that's why you are washed in that umbilical fluid. That's what your mother protects, gives you that protection when you pop out, and all the things that's in the atmosphere and air, the virus and stuff trying to kill you. And that which she watches you with will protect you until you can get to the point where you can protect yourself, just like the baby birds in the nest. The mother feeds them until they're able to fly on their own. But, you know, I don't know if you ever had opportunity to watch this. And if you ever in your kitchen, you hear a whole lot of commotion of birds going on in your yard, around those nests, there's those mother birds trying to tell them kids, you got to get up and go.
That's
because
right.
They don't want to. they want to stay there. It's comfortable. They're being fed. It's all cozy and featherly. But she's screaming and flying around in circles. You have to get up and go. And sooner
right.
or later, they do.
That's an excellent analogy, especially as to what is happening with us as a human species. As you say, the mother bird at a certain point says to you, you have to get out of this nest. You have to grow up and leave. You have to experience life on your own outside of this protective nest where I'm feeding you everything and you're believing that you have to depend on me. You need to know that you have the power to get out and get things for yourself. You have to know that you have the power to fly. You have to leave. And even if I tell you you can fly, you're not going to believe it until you actually leave. Now, if you won't leave on your own, I'm actually going to throw you out. But you're going to have to experience the reality that is beyond this nest. So this is what
Absolutely.
We're being told in this dialogue today. We, the human species, are going to have to grow up and understand that this planet Earth, this nest, is not all there is in life. And we are not just confined to this one space and time. And we have the power to get out and create worlds and create life experiences beyond what we have believed. And so rather than us staying and living in fear and believing that this is all there is, we're going to have to expand our knowledge and understand
and you know
that
you,
it's not all there is.
You talk about the events that's going on in your city. You know, to greatly explain it, we would have to have a conversation with each other. And I think we both have our assumptions. But typically what's happening is that the circle has been broken. And now you have others with devious ideas and agendas that's using the situation that these young people find themselves in. And it doesn't center in on any phenotypical type. It centers in on human beings have the ability to misuse their power and persuasion over others who was not formed in the nest the way they should be. See, the cycle of life in a bird in the nest continues to go around and around. You get up out of the nest, you go out, experience the world, then create new lives, lay your eggs in a nest.
Right.
But those in your city, that cycle has been broken. Then you have those that's using them. They're exploiting them for their own good and selfish agendas. We can identify it, but people really don't want to accept it, even though they recognize it themselves. They're experiencing it. Anyway, I'll let you get back to your show.
Well, you know, you've raised some great points because that's exactly what's happened. And the reason why people are able to be exploited is because, like you say, in the nest they were not prepared properly for leaving the nest. They were not prepared properly for an adult life. They were not prepared properly to be able to exist in a way that is productive and helpful. So they are self-destructive. And so that means we have to change what we're doing so that what they're doing will change.
You know what? I got a new hobby. You know what it is?
What's that?
Well, you got making pizzas. I'm making pizzas at home, and I really enjoy it. Did you realize how complicated it is? You have to be a chemist. You have to use math. You have to know how to measure it. Do things proportionally and at the right time. It's fun. Try it. Making pizza, making bread dough.
Mm.
Are you shipping them out anywhere? I'm getting mad.
No, I experimented with my grandson. He let him eat them.
Well, you know, that's a whole different life skill, and now your grandson will learn how to make pizzas, and who knows, they might have a new pizza business in the near future, and
yeah.
You just taught him a life skill.
It's
so
fun. People need to try something different for a change. Anyway, I'll let you get back to your show. Thank you for the opportunity. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for your comments, and of course, for those who are on our switchboard, feel free to press 1 as we continue this dialogue. Because now one thing that Pianchi did say that many of us are believing is that he said, unlike, you know, going from St. Louis to Alabama and then Alabama to Nigeria, there's no way to come back and tell people how it was. Well, we now have in these times people all over the Internet who've had near-death experiences, meaning they did, in fact, transition out of body, experienced life on the other side, and came back and shared certain knowledge that we are eternal beings. There is no death. We're leaving this body and traveling to other dimensions, traveling to other locations, traveling throughout the galaxy, and living lives in other places for the eternal development of our souls. This is the life experience that we are that never ends. And the only thing that makes Earth a challenging place is our amnesia about that reality. And so our behavior is reflecting that because we are as one who is asleep. So this is why this challenge was given in this fourth book by Neil Donald Walsh, by the creator of the universe, to awaken the species, awaken us to the reality that we are eternal beings having a temporary physical experience on Earth, not to destroy the place or each other, but to learn, to evolve, and to create. And that doesn't require any hostility or violence. It's time for us to grow out of that barbaric stage of ignorance that keeps us killing each other, refusing to share what the earth is giving all of us for free, having fear of death, and therefore creating such a low quality of life that we can't enjoy this life experience. It's time for us to awaken. And this is where we are. So let me take another call, and then, of course, if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, we invite you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. All over the world, people are receiving information so that they can help us in the awakening. Are we willing to listen and accept it so that we may be a part of that awakening? And let me open the mic for 773-984. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
This is Marcita. My phone is broken, but hopefully you can hear me clearly on this phone.
Yes, yes, Marcita, we hear you much better than we usually do. Thank you for changing phones.
Yeah. You know, I was sitting here thinking, and I thought about some past research that I had done, because fear of the unknown is part of experiencing, I think, the fear of death. And I believe that people view death as an alienation. They alienated from their person, and then it's like a radical transformation. It's like a threat to manifestation of what's left. And when fear of the unknown, then they sometimes have the tendency normally to fear death. But everything has a beginning and an end. you know, into this life and maybe a chance for going to the beginning of another life. But we fear death because it is the unknown. And we also fear death because it takes away loved ones. However, personally, I don't have a fear of death because once you get older, you know you have a chance for them sooner or later, but without warning, you know. And others are also, many other people have reasons depending on, you know, each person. Losing a life is very hard. It makes us like not thinking about your own life, losing death, but losing the life of a loved one. And then our self-control, we lose our self-control when we lose the life of our loved ones. And so without understanding and believing in a higher force, then you'll give over to where you have, in my opinion, my experience, where you have lost self-control because of losing a loved one. It, you know, me personally, the death of a loved one, I understand, but the killing, the senseless killing of people that has not done anything. I do believe in God. I do believe that in my heart that if someone is murdered, then they go to paradise and the murderer is not forgiven. But, you know, the trauma of hearing and the social media and every time you look at news break, there's a young black person got killed. Death is different than killing and murder. It's not acceptable. This creates a status of I don't know, fear. Now, I'm not fear of dying, but fear of injury is called traumaphobic. And everybody has a fear. We are all human. But to fear death, we know we got to end. Nobody lives forever, not even Methuselah. He didn't, or whatever his name, he didn't live forever. So many of us older people, we know that time ends and look forward to doing something better in another life. But what our young people need to do or be taught by some of the people who have that experience to teach them, the fear of killing. They don't have a remorse for other life. You know, they just carry guns and snap the life out. And then you talk to the young people out here, and they don't have fear of death. They have fear of living, so they kill. They said, the ones I talk to, because I want to understand the behavior, especially in the people of my color. Hey, these young people don't fear killing. They don't fear death, not at all. They're very daring and bold. But we need to, I would like to be on a team that has, you know, the will to teach how to live among your own peers without injury, because I'm traumaphobic. And I went to the other life when I had a malpractice injury, and that's why I think I have a fear of injury, because I was an innocent victim. And then when someone gets injured and I acknowledge it, I have that funny kind of feeling. So everybody has a problem, but to acknowledge your own problem is first step to healing, because nobody can heal you other than your faith, and people don't know your innards. They assume, and they don't have that type of healing for each other that they will even contribute. They try to find some fault in your emotions or your pain instead of trying to find a way to help heal the whole community and society from their own level. Understand, but people do not understand fear, and they all have fear. And I don't know no one who does not. If someone said they don't have a fear, but mine is painful, fear of injury, and then to be focused in a community where all you see is people of your color. out. You let your mind die, but not like that, to be killed. In all the scriptures that I ever read, it said, thou shalt not kill. So our children, the younger people that's out here that's daring and bold and experiencing life, most of them I talk to, they don't fear death. They don't fear
like,
death. They don't
fear, fear life.
Killing.
That's an interesting thing. When the destructiveness gets to the point where it's almost suicidal, it's almost as if they're saying, kill me, kill me. I can't stand to live. That's the level that they're on. And you wonder, what kind of pain, what kind of emotional pain are they enduring where they would rather exit this physical life than keep enduring the emotional pain that they're in? There is no way that you would want to die if you were enjoying your life. But I believe what we're seeing in these young people is such an extreme pain emotionally. The hurt inside is too much, and their soul wants to return to where they were before they came into this life. Every soul knows its origin. We all know, every soul knows where home is. And sometimes you just want to leave.
From my observation, it's not a pain. It's that they don't give reverence to life, not because they're pain. They don't respect each other. So they say, it was your life. I'll take you out. Even if you pick up a penny of mine, I would kill you. That's not so pain to you. Innocent baby, the youngest baby in the city of Chicago, that's why I have a phobic of trauma, phobic of injury, fear of injury. I don't think I'm going to die die. But
you have a memory. You have a memory of physical pain that you're replaying in your mind, and that's what trauma is.
You've been attacked before, right? No, what it is having a visual sight of people who are injured, fear of injury. No, not the pain of it. The fear that, you know, I don't mind dying. It's nothing to die. But then I might be wounded, so I can't do for myself. Because when you can't do for yourself, it's hard for somebody to do for you. And if they see you doing something for yourself when you need help, they say, why should I help her when she don't, or he don't need help because she's doing for herself? No, it's not fear of that. It's fear of injury because you're visualizing in your own surroundings, not in someone else's environment, all this trauma of killing. And then the witnessing, you know, it's just like in your own circle, your own environment, your own neighborhood, people who don't care. The youngest baby in the city of Chicago, unfortunately, was killed at that time was my relative. Then my grandson, Jimmy, he was an angel. He was killed. Then my little niece on the bus, two men got in an argument on Sunday night and shot her in the head. She was an A-plus student. You know, fear of injury, not death, because I believe all the ones who were killed were innocent victims, and they ascended to a higher place. But the one who
So, Rashida, let me throw this idea out there, which, you know, is a lot of what is discussed in this dialogue. The idea, first of all, that people who you might have perceived of as having been killed made the decision before they were born that this was how they were going to exit. And they made that decision because they wanted their exit from this life to have an impact of awakening people to change their behavior. And the people who have exited this life, they are, as you've just said, living in a better place, having another life experience that they are enjoying, and they are in no pain and there is no suffering because the way they left this life is the way they chose to leave this life, and that no one leaves this life by accident. If it's an accident, then you can choose to come back. Bianchi was talking about people don't come back to tell. Now all over the internet, many, many, many people have come back to explain there is no death. If something happens to your body to injure it, and you have to, your spirit has to leave your body, if it's not your time to go, then you will be sent back, your body will be healed, and you will continue your life. Everybody comes here with a contract when they're going to live and when they're going to leave, and you have to come back and fulfill your contract before you can leave. So
I understand what you're saying, but
you don't believe it because you haven't experienced it and you haven't heard from people who have.
No, I have experienced it.
Because that's why
excuse me, I'll tell you about my experience. I'm not trying to argue, but I don't think
saying.
Because people who get killed, and I believe in a higher force than me. It's proven that you shouldn't kill because, first of all, you put pain. So you don't choose to get killed because everything ends. Life ends. Your life, my life. You might go to a higher form. You could go to, I believe, in the higher form because there's a higher form bigger than me. But when it comes to me choosing to get killed, no. Because that's not in divine order. But dying, everybody's going to die. Wherever you transform to, it's from your efforts and your doings while you're alive and your deeds. But as far as you choosing to somebody shoot you in the head or somebody stab you in the back and you die, no, you don't choose to do that. That choice was planned and premeditated by someone else, not your doing. So that's I don't believe like that, and my faith tells me differently. Now, I do believe on the other hand that you can choose a higher place than a lower place from your deeds while you're here. You know, you earn that, but you don't earn killing because even in all the scriptures from the Torah to the Quran, you do not murder. And not only that, my own intelligence tell me, you know, again, my experience from injury is where my trauma comes because, like, I talk to a therapist because I chose to talk to a therapist because I can't talk to the common people because they got their own perception of what they think things are. So they judge and preach. I'm crazy as he is. But I accepted it. I had people, you know, during my trauma and pain, that pain of the loved ones not dying, like I had a brother 13 years old died. That pain wasn't as devastating as killing because of trauma. You don't know who killed, first of all, because the people are so disorganized in their community that they don't even deal with the unsolved homicide when it's a plethora of it in their neighborhood. So they try to find all kinds of escapes or reasoning from not to be accountable for their own community.
Well, let me ask you this, Rashida. First of all, do you understand that you chose to be born at a certain time? You made a decision that you were going to have a life experience inside a body at a certain time, right?
I don't understand that, so I can't comment on that. But what
you intended to come into a body. You also had to have a plan to exit the body. You have to.
But I didn't make myself.
You're not in your
house
to get out. That's what we all do before we're born. We decide who we're going to be born to. We decide when. And then we decide how we're going to leave.
That's what I don't understand. I need your explanation on that because how could you decide when you don't have a brain to think? Okay.
That's it. We're believing that our thought is caused by a brain, and our thought is the eternal consciousness that always exists whether we're in a body or not. That's the thing that we as a have to awaken to.
This is amazing.
The fact we always existed, and this body is just a casing for our consciousness, but the brain is not the consciousness.
I don't know about that. I think that's something that I don't understand, because that's from observation of God's creation, because I believe in a creator that created everything that's here that's natural, even the pig. We didn't create none of that. And just by observation of being a gardener and a person who liked to develop and plant seeds, that observation of planting the seed and seeing grow, but something had to make it grow. I don't believe that we grow in our own mind and make ourselves and then make a decision on whether we're going to grow before we get here. There's chemical, biological development that makes us into a human being. But then mankind comes up with his conception so that he can forget about the creator who created everything. And if you don't create yourself. That's why homosexuality is, because they think that they supposed to go into themselves like with the same type of organs that they make love to. And they have the same organs into themselves.
So, Rashida, hold that thought. We're going to share a little bit more of this dialogue, Conversations with God, and then we'll perhaps have a few moments to come back and get your reflections. If we understood that we are not this body we're in, no more than you are the car that you drive when you get in and drive away, you get out of the car and you're still you. We are the consciousness that animates this body. But it doesn't matter whether this body is male or female, because when we leave this body and return home, our consciousness still exists. And when we know that, then we do not live in fear, because we understand there is no death. There is only an ongoing life experience. But hold on, Rashida, we're going to share a little bit more of the dialogue, and then we'll see if we can come back and get your reflections on what you hear as Neil Donald Walsh shares what he was told in a conversation with God. And, of course, he uses both male and female to express the answers given to him by God so that we will understand that the divine is neither male nor female. It has no gender. But let's continue with the thoughts shared in conversations with
It's about you hearing it again and now getting all of it. It's about putting everything together as you move toward full integration, then feeling free to accept the third invitation. Feel free to awaken your species, because this really is the perfect time to advance.
Chapter 3. Hey, I gotta ask you a question. Why do you care so much? I thought God doesn't take a position one way or the other on temporal matters. Are you saying that you have a preference here? That you're deeply concerned about how my life and everything else in life on Earth turns out? I mean, if you really are the God of this universe and you do have a preference, how can you not get what you want? I hope these are fair questions, because some people are going to be confused.
Every question is a fair question. Your opportunity, and the opportunity of everyone who self-identifies as one who sees helping others on their evolutionary path as part of their evolutionary journey, is to do what you can to awaken your species, primarily by your behavior. For it is what you do, it is how you are in the world, that will shake people awake, that will startle them into seeing what their own possibilities are. Of lesser importance, but also of value, will be what you say to others. Having the courage to share not widely accepted words and thoughts and ideas that might serve to open a road to greater clarity for many people. Now, to answer the present question, I do not want you to awaken the species any more than I want anything at all. Please be clear. God lives in want of nothing. Anything God wants,
God can have. Yet God does have desires. It is God's desire that fuels the engine of creation. It is divine desire that powers the universe.
Okay, all right, we'll use the word desire then. If God desires humanity to awaken, and I presume this is to preserve and improve its way of life, is there any question that this is going to happen?
God's desire is not that particular outcomes occur, but that the sentient beings in God's universe be fully empowered to create what they choose.
sentient beings of the universe had no choice but to do exactly what God orders them to do, you would live in a universe populated by machines, automatons, robots, androids. This would defeat the whole purpose of God having created sentient beings in the first place, which is to allow God to experience itself as what it is, the free will creator of its own experience. It is critical to understand that God is both the creator and the created. There is no separation between the two.
I know this. I know this. I'm very clear that there's nothing that is not God.
That's exactly what is true. God experiences the act of creation, therefore, not by requiring all of itself to follow orders, but in exactly the opposite way, by allowing and empowering all of its creations to create whatever they wish. In this, the parts of God demonstrate the fundamental characteristic of the whole, freedom. Absolute freedom to create as only a pure creator could, without limitation or restriction of any kind. This is the power given to all sentient beings. It is the power given to humans. So now do you understand? My desire is not that humanity be fully awakened. My desire is that you always be empowered to have and to create, to express and to experience whatever you wish. If that means being awakened, wonderful. If that means not awakening, fine. I have no preference in the matter, except that your preference be fulfilled.
Oh, yeah? Then why is the third invitation extended by you? This is not us coming to you. This feels like you coming to us.
But you are coming to me. You've asked me. You've all asked me for help. Everything that you think and say and pray for tells me that you want your life to change, and you want life on Earth to be different. Do you imagine that I don't hear this? What is clear is that the only way your own life and the life of your species is going to change for the better is by awakening. And so, awakening becomes the agenda. Yet this is your agenda, your prayer. This is what you choose. My role is simply to empower you to create what you wish. That is why I've extended to you the third invitation.
Sorry, but it still feels as if an invitation is you reaching out to us.
I'm going to answer that. But first, answer this for me. Because others following this conversation may be wondering, why is all of this so important to you? Why are you spending so much time on who asked who?
Because if all of this is you coming to us, it could feel very much like a command, not an opportunity, like an order, not an invitation. Now, I know that you don't issue orders or give us commandments, but this invitation of yours could seem to some of us like one of those mobster movies where Don Corleone says, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Look, I'm not comparing you to a mobster, but I mean, who says no to God?
Plenty of people, actually.
Okay, I shouldn't have asked. But the real question is this an order from God? Are we being commanded here?
No. As you've pointed out, I do not command anything or anyone. I have no need to. Think of it this way. If a friend or loved one knocks on your front door, have you gone to them or have they come to you?
Well, they've come to me, of course.
And if you open the door and invite them in, is your invitation a command or a loving response to their having knocked on your door?
Nice analogy. So you're saying we've knocked on your door.
My dear, you're practically breaking it down. You and half the human race. Can you not hear the loudest call of your species? Help us. Somebody, please help us change.
Yes, I can hear that. Arising from within my own heart, I hear it.
And so I have extended the third invitation.
Yes, but there are still those who will say, you're the God here, not us. Instead of inviting humans to awaken their species, why don't you just do it?
Then repeat to them over and over again. God's function is to empower you to make happen what you wish to make happen, not to make it happen for you. My role is to give you the freedom own reality. Produce your own future. Generate your own outcome. The point is to keep you in the role of creator. I never intended for humans to be simply assembly line workers putting together what I have designed. My intention from the beginning was to put you at the drafting board, coming up with your own design.
And that is an explanation of why we're here as a human species. We're here to create. And everything that we're experiencing is what we have chosen to create. And now that so many people are praying to God to help get us out of this mess, this dialogue, this book, Conversations with God, explains that now that we are begging for help because this violent world in which we live has become unbearable, and we want to change this mess we've made, what we're being told by God is that all we need to do is simply awaken to the truth of who and what we are. We are the eternal beings, the expressions of God, ever living, ever existing, with the power to create whatever we choose. And so it's time for us to choose to create the world of peace that we say we desire. And we have the power to do so if we simply awaken to the reality that there is no death, there's only life. And we are always alive. So how would that knowledge change a feeling of fear if we're believing that others have the power to take our lives and end our lives or restrict our lives? If we knew that wasn't true, how would that change how we see ourselves and how we made decisions? Right now, everybody's saying, how do we control these badly behaving young people among us who tear up things, who have guns, who kill, and they don't care? How do we get back control of them? Do we have to call out the National Guard with their guns and have a mass arrest and shoot people down in the streets and haul everybody into jail? Right now, people are having that moment of panic and asking themselves those questions. But here we're hearing that if we could just awaken to the truth of who we are, we would change. So what are your thoughts on that? Well, let me open up some mics. First of all, the idea that all of us, Rashida, I'll open your mic again. We're being told all of us are truly an expression of God. There's not a separation, God over here, humans over here. Everything is only the one thing. And we are not separate from each other. So if you believe you're killing someone, you're actually going to experience what you gave to that other person, not in form of a punishment, but in form of you actually realizing that you are a part of them and they are a part of you. So if you knew that ahead of time, would you ever make a decision to cause anyone pain? First of all, what are your thoughts about the different definition of who we are? As if we're told that God is everything, including us, is that a different understanding than what our religions teach us of a punitive God who punishes and rewards based on the choices we make? And now we're being told, well, no, whatever choices we make is what we experience based on those choices. There's no punishment. There's only the consequences of our choices, which is what we're experiencing now. So how does that change your perception as to who's responsible for changing what we have experienced, especially with those people that you say kill, cause pain, cause suffering. How do you think we should approach that situation? Makes it a little
Hello?
Difficult. Yes, go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
First of all, believing in a higher force than myself and intelligently thinking, I don't know nobody who created nothing. That, not from God's universe. Everything that's made was created not by yourself, but they call it a creation. But everything that we make comes from what God has created. And we can't create ourselves. We can, you know, make another human being by going through the birth experience. But everything, if man can't create nothing, just that, nothing, nada.
Do you agree that we create the reality that we're experiencing based on the choices that we've made? We created the reality that we're experiencing.
No, I don't believe that. What I believe is that we make things difficult for ourselves and each other because of being feeble or weak. But as far as us creating anything, we make problems for ourselves and others because of lack of knowledge. And sometimes, you know, we become annoyed out and do nothing because of that. But I don't think there's nothing on this planet. I can't even perceive me creating myself and coming into this world through my mother's womb because I made a choice. See, I didn't make a choice because I didn't create myself. Now, when I came out of my mother's womb, then I made choices. I made a choice to live or die.
Well, you know,
that's what I believe.
We'll have to continue this conversation. It will be continuing. So thank you so much for calling in, Rashida. Our time is up. We're going to continue. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I said thank you very kindly for the opportunity to express my feelings.
Oh, well, we certainly appreciate it because your feelings are shared by me. And we want to continue to introduce these dialogues, and we thank all of you who listen in and join in because we, of course, realize it is time for us to awaken to a higher truth that will empower us to change the reality that we have in fact created that we don't like. You have to understand reality.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda,
Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.